You like that spot, Cheryl.
I love that spot. That's our new one.
Something for the millennials.
Trying to get those younger folks to get out there and put some container gardens on their patios. You really can have something pretty to look at, even if you have just the small apartment patio space.
Yes, you absolutely can. And let's talk lawns for a few minutes. And as we get into lawns, this is actually where I take a minute to talk about Bonite's Weed and Feed. It's a great product at this time of year if you're trying to expand your ryegrass. You can go through the roots and through the shoots with the weed killing product in it. That, man, it is weed season with all the rains we've had, the warm winter. But then it also gives a nice light feeding for the next few weeks before your ryegrass completely dies off. So it's a four-way action product you can get all over the state, including Waters in Prescott on Iron Springs Road, Summer Winds in Phoenix on Bethany Home, and then Treeland in Mesa. Cheryl, you were out there earlier this week, and sounds like quite a busy season for the landscapers.
It was crazy. It was wonderful to see everyone, homeowners in there getting their flowers to plant and some new trees to have for the summer, and also the landscape contractors.
And they're one of the few places that we have found in Arizona that sell satsumas. We get that question actually quite frequently because of Rosie's Louisiana heritage. He has a lot of people from Louisiana listening, and that's a very popular citrus for the Louisiana area. Where do I get a satsuma? Where do I get a satsuma? And Treeland sells it. But it's still not a great citrus for the desert. But you can. If you've got to have your satsuma, you can go to Treeland and get it there. But as long as Bonite's Weed and Feed, an American made product for Arizona homeowners. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. I think this additional hour that we've added to the broadcast is throwing a lot of people off. We're getting a lot of home improvement calls, which we don't start taking in the past until the second hour. Well, people in Phoenix and Sedona that now start listening at 8 just by habit have started calling in with home improvement questions. So we will be calling those homeowners back in the next hour, in the 9 o'clock hour, when we take our open line hour. But it's the landscape and garden hour still. So if you'd like to talk, it's 1-888-767-4348. Next hour, we'll also have Kevin Rogers from the Arizona Farm Bureau talking about finding your own local meat through cattle and livestock auctions, whether it's 4-H, Farm Bureau, county fairs, what to look for, what you need to know, what types of meat are available in Arizona. And then the 10 o'clock hour, Arrowhead Deck, we'll be talking concrete and the perfect low-maintenance product for the Arizona desert. But right now, we're still in the landscape and garden hour. We started off talking low-maintenance. We talked about Texas ebonies. We talked about ironwoods, Palo Verdes. There's a lot of hybrids of mesquites now.
There absolutely are lots of different hybrids of mesquites. Most of them tend to be thornless. They still are a bit deciduous in the wintertime, but lots of hybrid mesquites.
Fast growing.
Until they get to a certain height, it's a low water tree. But if you're planting a hybrid mesquite tree, you want to be sure best not in a lawn area and very deep watering and less frequently to get that root established.
And with the thornless varieties, because mesquites probably have the longest thorn of all the Palo Verdes and the ironwoods, the mesquite thorn can be as long as your finger in a lot of cases.
An Argentine mesquite, a native Argentine mesquite, you can see some huge thorns on those.
But they have thornless mesquites that they've crossed. How come they haven't been able to get a thornless ironwood yet? Or a thornless Texas ebony?
I don't think anybody's ever asked for that, and I'm not sure if you could hybridize that out of either of those trees.
So there's a couple great varieties that are available for the desert. Non-natives. There are some very great non-native. I mean, the citrus industry in Arizona has been a staple in agricultural for 100 years, but I'm pretty confident that's not a native Arizona plant.
No, I'm sure it isn't. And in fact, I've got a ruby red grapefruit in my backyard, and every morning when I can go pick one and eat them, I know I live in paradise.
You're a big ruby red grapefruit fan?
Absolutely.
What are some other varieties that do well?
Well, you know, we were talking about low water. Cheryl brought up seeing people buying flowers and and for millennials to do potted plants on their patios. And here in Arizona, we plant in pots geraniums and petunias and all kinds of beautiful flowers in the fall. And it's getting to be the time of year where the temperatures are rising. Some of those annual flowers are starting to decline a little bit. And we look at our pots and say, oh gosh, what are we going to plant now? And there's just a few things that do really well in the summer for flowering. Vinca, pentas. But another thing I like to do in lots of nurseries, you'll find different varieties of succulents. You can plant succulents, and they don't need as much water in the summertime with our heat and have some beautiful texture. So a little succulent replanting, and then come back in the fall with your color.
And if you're listening and driving around, I mean, it's hard to write a lot of this stuff down. It's hard to remember a lot of this. You've even thrown out some Greek names, or is it
Latin names
that, of course, you could always go re-listen to some podcasts, but to look something up, what should people remember if they want to find a local nursery and find a local place?
Plant-something.org is a wonderful website to go. We're proud now to have 21 states in our partnership, so make sure you go ahead and put your cursor over Arizona and click on Arizona, and you'll find a garden center locator. Just put in your zip code, local garden center, or also on that website, it is attached to AMWA, the Arizona Municipal Water Users Association website. They have beautiful photographs and beautiful shrubs and trees with that low water use, low maintenance touch that Cindy's been talking about. So plant-something.org has a lot of information about some great plants for right here in Arizona.
And you mentioned you birthed this plant-something.org, or the Arizona Nursery Association.
Yeah.
Who is the original creator of that?
The Arizona Nursery Association Board of Directors actually had the concept of Plant Something. It was kind of when the economy was very slow here in Arizona. And they got together and said, hey, what can we do to generate some consumer marketing? And that is by a very talented local Phoenix agency. Plant-something.org started. And then I went to one of the meetings with my peers, and everyone said, I want it. I want it. How can I share it? And so we're proud to say that we have 21 states cooperating in our partnership now. We're sharing resources, we're learning and expanding the program with all of those states' input. So we're really thrilled.
And with the number of people that have temporary residence in Arizona, it's a great website they can take home to a lot, like you said, 21 other states or
Absolutely.
20 other states.
Yeah. So if you are from Minnesota or like my parents, you're snowbirds here from Indiana, you have the promotion back in Illinois and you also have it here in Arizona. So you can go to the same website.
Idaho, Hawaii.
I wish Hawaii. Cindy and I are going to make that site visit to try to sell them soon. But yes, the lots of different states across. We just got Maine this week. I'm super excited.
Leaf peepers is what they call people that go up there to visit there, because apparently their tourist time is in the fall, and they call them
to see the
leaf peepers.
Leaf peepers. Love it.
Excellent. Well, let's get to our callers. Mark's first on the line from San Manuel. Welcome to the program, Mark.
How you doing, Romy? I just planted an orange tree, and when I bought it, they told me that it's just a little one. It's probably maybe a three-quarter caliper, maybe an inch. But they told me that you're going to have to prune off the oranges the first year so it doesn't deform the branches. What my question is do I nip the orange off right there where it touches the stem? Because it had a lot of blooms on it.
Well, let me back up. Cindy, is that even – I've never even heard that about having to trim off.
Well, they mentioned that it could deform the branches because it's a little tree. It's not huge, but it had a lot of blooms on it, you know, and it's got – I can see where the flowers, the bees were on there, and now at the base of the flower, I can see an orange growing, you know. It's a navel orange, and well, it's small, but anyway –
Well, Mark, it sounds like you've got a healthy, happy orange tree. Obviously, we've just had a blooming season. The fruit has just set. You may see a lot of fruit on the ends of your stems. You're likely to lose most of them during the summertime with it being just newly planted. I would hesitate pruning those little baby oranges off, and let's see how many oranges you have left. And if you've got a plethora, got lots of oranges when we come into the fall season, take a look at your tree and see if it's actually deforming or weighting it down to the ground. And if that's happening, then you might just selectively prune some of those off. But I'd encourage you to enjoy your oranges and hopefully harvest a few and enjoy that navel orange to eat next year.
Leave it be. The tree, amazingly, it does a very good job of taking care of itself.
Yeah.
It grows to it's kind of like watermelon. If you ever put watermelon on a vine, it still produces watermelon vertically. The stem is just a lot bigger. I mean, the plant just knows how to take care of itself. So I would not kill it with kindness, Mark. Like Cindy said, just leave it be. And if you start, if you need to thin it a little bit here and there as the oranges just get bigger and bigger and bigger. But that's one thing I love about citrus is you don't have to thin your harvest. That is the hardest thing for me to do is go out there and thin my apples, thin my peaches.
Yep.
If you don't, you only end up with little bite-sized apples. You have to thin those. That's one thing we love about our citrus. You just take it all, and the family loves it too.
Yeah.
They encourage us not to thin ours. Bring some oranges when you come, Roll. Mm-hmm. Let's go a little farther south and a little to the east and bring Laura from Wilcox into the conversation.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my question is, how in the world, what's the mystery to growing bougainvillea? I know that's not a tree, but it seems to be a very sensitive plant, but particular to sun or shade or whatever.
Well, Laura, thanks for calling in. You live in Wilcox. Bougainvillea is a very heat, sun-loving plant. Are you attempting to plant them outside in the landscape?
Well, yeah, I've got a back patio with a east-facing patio porch, and I've got a trellis that's going on the south side of it. And I don't know whether or not that will work on, you know, trying to grow it on the south side.
Well, it sounds like the perfect spot. My only concern is that you're in Wilcox and you get pretty cold there. So bougainvillea is going to be more of an annual type plant that you could plant, say, this time of year, enjoy it in the summertime. But I bet you're going to get frost damage on it. You could put it in a pot on your patio and then bring it in or give it some real protection in the wintertime, I would say is going to be your secret. Bougainvillea, once established, are very low water. They don't like to be watered a lot, and they love the hot sun.